Peter, chapter 1. We begin a new series this Wednesday evening on Peter, not only in his life, but we're going to look at the two epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter. Well, let's begin by turning to 1st Peter, chapter 1. 1st Peter, chapter 1, and we'll just read from verse 1 through to verse 8. As you will see tonight, we will begin to look at the life of Peter, and so we're going to go to John chapter 1 as well. But let's begin by reading 1st Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through to verse 8. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, but the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Well, let's just begin by reading the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The congregation, the first epistle of Peter, was written around AD 66. And you notice simply how the epistle begins. Peter. And so that's why we begin the series at looking a little at the life of Peter. There's so much here in these epistles. We just read those few verses. Some precious and wonderful doctrines. Heartwarming, comforting truths we have before us. Go to verse 8. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We love him, though we can't see him. Oh, what would our hearts be like when we see him in heaven? Oh, how we love the Lord. Oh, to love him more. And as we think of this here, are we not thankful for the gift of faith? For we are looking unto him. We can't see him with our natural eyes, but we're looking. And we've discovered him to be altogether lovely. We love him. Well, we notice how the epistle begins. Peter. And with this in mind, let's now turn to John chapter 1, and we'll read verses 40 through to verse 42. For here we have this introduction to Peter in John chapter 1. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Kephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. There's a number of different ways of pronouncing that name. I've been pronouncing it a certain way for many years, but looking today, it's to be pronounced Kephas, more from the original. Well, we have that introduction there to Peter, there in John chapter 1. Let's just, by way of introduction, just consider a little about Peter there from those verses and the place he came from. First of all, he was the son of Jonah, verse 42. And that name means dove. Now we can think of a dove for mildness, but also for weakness. And exposed to the enemy. And we can think of Peter. Yes, there was a mildness, but also there was a weakness. Though, as we will consider in a moment, he was a stone, there was a measure of weakness. And he was exposed to danger. And do you know, we see ourselves in this name. We're weak, and we're exposed to danger, but we're seeking to be more like Christ. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And the Reverend John Brown of Paddington, speaking on the word dove, speaks of a likeness to Christ. And was there not a little likeness to Christ in the life of Peter? Oh, that we would be a dove more in likeness to Christ. So his name there means dove. He was known by the Lord. Just note these words here in verse 42. Verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. He thought of his name. Well, he was known. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. And the Lord knows his people. The Lord knows them that are his. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 19 we read, "Nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The Lord knows. The Lord knows them that belong to him. The Lord knows them that are in union with him. What a blessing to be in union with Christ. My beloved is mine, and I am his. The Lord knows, dear child of God, the Lord knows that you belong to him. One may struggle with doubts. One may be assaulted by the devil. Let them be encouraged. The Lord knows them, that they belong to him. Simon Peter was known. What do we read, verse 42? "And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah." And he knows you. He knows your name. Your name is written upon the palms of his hand. Your name is in his heart. He knows you. What a comfort that is. But it's also humbling, isn't it? He knows us. He knew Peter. He knew what Peter would be like. Well, he was known. So we think he was the son of Jonah, known unto the Lord. Secondly, by occupation, he was a fisherman. Lord willing, we're going to continue the series of Peter this coming Lord's Day morning. Luke chapter 5, verse 2 through to verse 3. "He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." He was a fisherman. Not a great profession in the eyes of the world, but an important one, particularly in the days of our Lord's earthly ministry. Many relied upon fishing, such did Simon, Peter, and Andrew. Many would look on and despise them, but not the Lord. And are we not reminded of those words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And the Lord's people may be looked down upon, and you may find yourself looked down upon, despised. But the Lord sees you as precious, and the Lord uses you. He uses his people. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." How the Lord, in condescension, looks upon his people with delight. As we think in the Song of Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ has a desire towards his people, as we see in chapter 5. He has a desire towards you. He will use you. He will use his people. Peter was a fisherman, but he was used of the Lord. He wasn't despised by the Lord. Now we know that Peter would be called a little later to the work of fishing for souls. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, we read, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We have this account in John 1, where Peter meets the Lord, where he will continue fishing. And a little later, if we put it all together, the Lord sees them. And he calls them to that work of following him as close disciples. And they were to fish for men. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men. What a word for Peter. A hook is used in fishing. It's thrown out on a line. God's servants are to send out the gospel in fishing for souls, fishers of men, seeking to come alongside, making known the gospel, presenting the Lord Jesus Christ, fishers of men. It takes time, doesn't it? We think if a fisherman may spend many long nights in catching nothing, and many of God's servants have laboured for so many years, think of William Carey, so many years before one person was converted. A couple went to Senegal in their 30s, and it wasn't until they were in their 60s did they see men and women, boys and girls, being saved. Peter would learn in the work of fishing for men those things he had learnt as a fisherman. Let's consider thirdly, he was a native of Bethsaida. Verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Literally the name means house of fish, fruits, or hunting. They were fishermen, and they lived in a place, house of fish, fruits, or hunting. There was gain. And are we not reminded in a spiritual way? The Lord has blessed us, and there's fruitfulness, and there is gain in a spiritual way. So we consider these little things about Peter. But let's just open it up now, and I'd like us to consider three more things tonight as we consider the life of Peter. First of all here, he was brought to the Saviour. He was brought to the Saviour. Verse 41, these are precious words. He first findeth with his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Verse 42. Andrew's heart, having been touched, followed the Lord and spent time with him. He knew Christ. He spent fellowship with him. Was spent in fellowship with him. Delightful fellowship. And he longed for his brother to meet Jesus. Oh, there are those shining times we have with the Lord. Revelation 3 verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. A time of dining, and precious are those hours. One of the Puritans speaks of it's one of the most precious times here upon earth to be found meditating upon the Lord as part of dining with him. Heart warming occasions. And Andrew, having his heart touched, desires his brother to know likewise. Heartwarming occasions that stir the heart. Remember the road to Emmaus, Christ drew near and went with those two. There was sorrow in the heart, but by the end there was warmth in the heart. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Warmth within, the heart was stirred, and they went back to the others to tell them where Andrew's heart was stirred, and he must go and find his brother. And blessed are those times when our hearts are stirred, that we have to go and tell someone of Jesus. Just for verse 41 again. He first findeth his own brother Simon. He went to his brother and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. See the heart of Andrew for his brother Peter. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. His heart was so touched, he desired his brother to meet the Lord. Do not you have a desire for souls to be saved? Is there unconverted family members? You've got a desire, haven't you? Your heart has been touched by Christ. You've known a little of that warming within. Your desire is that your family member, who is a stranger to grace, might be saved. And then fellow countrymen. Remember those words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 10 verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That was his heart's desire. He had an enlarged heart. His heart had been blessed by Christ. And he was focusing on Christ and the gospel. But also in view of eternity, his heart was stirred. And he desired that his countrymen would be saved. And have we not a desire that our countrymen would be saved? We desire men and women, boys and girls, in the whole of this country, to know the Saviour, do we not? Blessed are those days when we've spent time with Jesus, and our hearts have been stirred, that we desire to go to others and tell them of Jesus. Let's go to the village again. Let's go to our neighbours again. The Lord willing, let's go to Ringwood in the open air again in the spring and tell them of Jesus in whom there is no guile. Tell them of Jesus who is altogether lovely. Just pause. Are you not thankful for those who told you? Are you? I know you are. You're thankful. The Lord put a desire in the heart of that one who came and told you. May the Lord put a desire in our hearts again and again, and that the Lord would use us instrumentally. Tell them of Jesus. Sometimes it's not the only reason we don't speak. Because of coldness. Andrew's heart was touched by the Saviour. Sadly, in our hearts there can be coldness. And we haven't got that desire. And we don't go and speak. Let me be careful here. It's not the only reason, is it? But if we're humble, we recognise at times there can be coldness in the soul, and we haven't got this desire as we ought to. Well, consider here Andrew, who went and found his brother. Consider his heart. Consider his love. His love for his brother. It may not be easy to go and tell a family member, but have you got a love in your heart? Oh, consider Andrew then. He goes. Are you going? Are you seeking to tell someone of Jesus? It may be you go and meet them. It may be you send a message. What an opportunity we have today in the 21st century. We can tell them of Jesus without even meeting them. What a blessing. I think of in the pandemic, how we reached some of the Sunday school children who used to come here a number of years ago. What an opportunity that was. Well, Andrew goes. He has a love for his brother and desires his good and wants him to know of Christ. What do we read in verse 41? He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. He tells him of Jesus. His conversation about the Lord. And we think here of one whose heart has been opened and goes to another. Well, our hearts have been opened. And is it not good to speak of Jesus amongst ourselves? Remember those precious words in Malachi 3 verse 16, that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. We can talk to the lost. Let's begin by talking to ourselves of the Lord. Talking of the Lord. Well, here Andrew, he loves his brother and desired his good. Brothers are known for fighting. Brothers and sisters are known for fighting. I always used to win. But there's love, is there not? Love in the heart for Jesus, first of all. And love in the heart for a poor sinner. I'm so thankful for those who loved me and told me of Jesus. This love in the soul, this compassion. Do you know we love the stranger? Yes, we love the Lord's people. But we love those who are strangers to grace. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 10 verse 19. The children of Israel were told, love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. It's to be a love for souls. Love the stranger. the stranger to the people of God, the stranger to grace. And remember, ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Let there be love in the heart for poor sinners. Love is such a blessing, isn't it, as we speak? Love is such a blessing as we do. Love is such an aid to go and tell poor sinners of Jesus. Andrew loved his brother. Let's love poor sinners. Let's exercise love, desiring their good. Consider they're in bondage. They know not the blessing we know. They know not Christ. They do not know what it is to dine with Christ. And they will die in their sins if they do not believe. And they will go to that place called hell if they do not believe. Have we not a desire for men and women, boys and girls, to be saved? Tell them of Jesus. Let's be going forth. Let's go into the village, the community, the workplace, and tell them of Jesus. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, find them, and tell them of Jesus, how you've been blessed through Jesus. He saved you, he's helping you, he's so kind to you, he's loving for you, he supports you. Open your heart to them, having a heart for them. Secondly, beheld by the Saviour. Beheld by the Saviour, verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, here's the look of Christ towards Peter. He beheld him. What a thought it is. Is Peter now before the Lord? Was he turned away? No. What do we read here? And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Kephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Dear brothers and sisters, were we turned away? No. John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We were drawn, we found ourselves there before the Lord. Did he turn us away? No. Will he turn us away? No. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He did not turn away on that initial time, and he never turned away. Yes, we may fail him and be subject to chastisement. We may backslide and need him to come and restore. But let me tell you, he will never turn you away. When we think of John 6, verse 37, it's not just that first time. When one believes and is saved, and never be turned away. Why? Because he accomplished redemption. Why? Because he has such a heart for poor sinners. I'm so thankful. He did not turn me away. And he's never going to turn me away. Here he beholds Peter. He doesn't tell Peter to go. No, he's going to encourage Peter. What do we read in verse 42? And when Jesus beheld him, he beholds Peter. Peter the sinner. Peter who had been in bondage. Jesus beholds him with such favour, love and mercy in his eye. Oh, consider Jesus. He beheld us. We were in his eye. In eternity before this world was made, we were given to him. As our Lord made plain in John 17, he beheld us in his eye. When he came into this world, he beheld us in his eye. When he was hanging upon the cross, he prayed that we would know joy and gladness. Psalm 40. What an amazing psalm. He beheld us with such love. He loved them unto the end. When he rose again, he was beholding us. In the time of love or an effectual calling, he so looked on us. Ezekiel 16, verse 6, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. We can think of Israel, but then we can think of an individual soul. I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. What a sight, polluted in sin. In our own blood, he said, live. You remember the Good Samaritan. John 10 verse 33, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Oh, we're not thankful he came. To think of that man, he was left half dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Total depravity. He looked on, and there was such compassion. He knew everything about us. He saw all our sin. He was mindful of our sins, which nailed him to the tree. And what did he do? He had compassion on us. What love, what mercy, what grace in his eyes. Listen to Spurgeon. It was wondrous love which moved the Saviour's heart when he found us in all our misery and bent over to lift us out of us, of it. He saw that man, had compassion, the Good Samaritan did on him. And he took care of him. I'm a reminder of Christ. He saw us. He did us good. And he's taking care. Oh, the love of Christ upon us now. Such a caring love. Oh, what love, what compassion, what grace. And when Jesus beheld him, as he beholds you in a special way. Dear child of God, he's beholding you now. He hasn't taken his eyes off you, not for one moment. And what a comfort that is. He's always watching. I say this again, that's humbling, isn't it? When we think of our sin. But what a comfort. He's always watching. He'll never take his eye off us. And he looks on us with such love and such a desire, as we see in the Song of Solomon. He beholds. Remember what Hagar said? Thou, God, seest me. Genesis 16, verse 13. Thou, God, seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? He seeth me. What a thought. He beheld us in effectual calling when we were saved, when we were picked up by him. And he's been watching us. He beholds us. His eye is on us. I used to be conscious often of my mother's eye from the front. The organ was at the front and she'd be looking and I was conscious. Are you conscious of the eye of Jesus watching you now? There's love in his eye towards you. At times he will look on with concern. We'll consider this in the life of Peter. Remember, he denied the Lord 3 times. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, Luke 22, verse 61. He turned, and sometimes the Lord turns. And there's such concern in his heart as he looks on us. He looked disappointingly at Peter. He looked on grieved with Peter, but still he looked on with love. And there are times when our blessed Lord looks on with a concern, but he still looks on with love. Be thankful he looks on with a concern as well as love. He's concerned when we fail him, because he knows we're not doing that which is right. And with such a concern, he will go after us and he will restore our soul, having humbled us and convicted us. He's always looking on with love. We read in Luke 22, verse 61, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. The Lord turned and looked on him, Peter remembers. And is there not times when we're conscious of the love of Christ and we remember, oh, that's what the Lord said. And I've denied him. Verse 62, what did Peter do? He went out and wept bitterly. Christ caught his eye and melted his heart. And his heart was convicted. He goes out and weeps bitterly. And you be thankful when you're conscious of the eye of Christ and it humbles you and it melts your heart and it brings you to your knees and you seek forgiveness. Well, the Lord looked on Peter. He would keep looking on Peter. And you be thankful the Lord keeps looking on you. He looks on you when you're in the valley. He looks on you when you're in the furnace of affliction. He looks on you when you're in bypath meadow, backsliding. Be thankful he looks on you there, as well as when you're in the valley of affliction. Jesus beheld the words, and what a comfort. The Saviour is watching you now. Can you look up to him? Do you gaze at Christ with the eye of faith, looking unto Jesus, where he was beheld by Jesus? We're 13, finally, a new name given to Peter, a new name given to Peter. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Thou art Simon. The Lord knew him. Thou shalt be called, here's the name, Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Yes, we can think of Jonah, a dove, and we thought of weakness. But here in this name we think of a stone and a measure of firmness. He wasn't the rock, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was a stone. Some resemblance, and there was a measure of firmness. Oh, consider what the Lord has done for you. He's turned your life around. And there's a measure of stability now, isn't there? Oh, as the Lord's people, oh, to be firm in him, to be strong in the Lord, to be stable. Peter wasn't always stable, and we're not always stable, but oh, to be stable. He's given a new name, and we have been given a new name. What is it? Christian. Follower of the Lord. What a blessing to have that name. We never had it before, did we? But we have this name, a follower of the Lord. Oh, to follow them. We're new creatures in the Lord. Our lives have been turned around. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Peter knew a new life. And so do every child of God, every one who believes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. We have a new life. Our life now is because of Christ. And note these words, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That old course of life is gone now. Yes, we sadly battle with indwelling sin. And sadly we yield with temptation. But we have a new life. We're not in bondage. We're not living that course of life that we used to. Old things are passed away. We have new friends now. Close acquaintances. Other believers. Yes, there may be certain ones we used to mix with. Our heart is for them now. Like Andrew had a heart for Peter. But we have new friends, don't we? A new will. Desiring to do that which is right. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, what grace does. Psalm 110, verse 3, a new affection. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's love in the heart for the Lord and for the brethren. Before there wasn't that grace of love, but the Lord put it in. There was hatred to the Lord. What a blessing to me to say, old things are passed away. Are we not thankful? That hatred to Christ has gone now. We're a new creation. We have love in the soul. There's this affection, this desire for the Lord. Did we really desire him? No. But now we do. What a blessing. We have a new name. And we have a new life. And we're following the Lord. Peter, he's following the Lord now. A little later, as we will consider, the Lord called him to a particular work, as the Lord called certain ones to the ministry. But here he is, he's following the Lord. What a blessing to be following Jesus. Yes, there's difficulties. And we get disappointed, don't we? What do we most get disappointed about? I tell you what I most get disappointed about, like Peter, my own sin. That's my greatest disappointment. There are disappointments and other things that disappoint us. But what a blessing to be following the Lord, to serve him, to love him, as Peter would make known, though we haven't seen him. The world thinks that's strange, doesn't it? But we love him. And what's our desire? To love him the more, though we haven't yet seen him. You think of a young man, he falls in love. He sees a certain lady. We've not seen the Lord, have we? But we love him. And we want to love him the more before we see him. What a blessing. What a blessing that our lives have been turned around like it was for Peter. When we think of Peter. Next week we'll consider more of the life of Peter. But this coming Lord's Day, I'd like us to go to Luke chapter 5. He's weary, he's tired, but he exercises faith. And you may be weary, you may be tired, but you exercise faith. You continue to follow the Lord. May the Lord bless his word, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Oh gracious God, we thank thee for our Saviour. We thank thee he looked upon us. He remembered us as he was dying upon the cross. Oh, what love towards us. In such agony, yet he so thought of us. And we thank thee in the time of effectual calling, he did so upon us. He knew everything about us. He knew our sin. He saw the pollution we were in. Yet he said no. Though we frankly, he's never taken his eyes off us. Lord, that is a great comfort. Lord, how could we face one more moment for you to take his eyes off us? Oh, keep looking upon us, Lord. Where there is the need, come and rebuke us. And then restore us. Keep looking, Lord. May we rest tonight in the comfort that our Savior is looking at us. Help us, O Lord, to so follow thee. Oh, may there be that greater resemblance. May there be more stability in our lives. Oh, may there be more meekness in our lives. Oh, Lord, as we think of the death. Oh, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of thee. Lord, look on the desire we have in our hearts. Not always do we get to the person we so want to speak to, but take the desire, O Lord, as thou didst take that desire in David's life all those years ago when he desired to build a temple. O Lord, it is our desire that others would hear of our Saviour. Lord, we would think of those who are strangers to grace in our families. Give us a greater desire again. And give us opportunities to say a word for Jesus. Lord, as we think of this village and the wider area, the communities we come from, Ringwood, Lord, and the open air work, Lord, give us a desire now before the spring comes. Lord, we pray. Lord, we desire that others would come to know one who has touched our hearts, who has warmed us within. Oh Lord, keep coming and touching our hearts. Come to us when we are sad, like thou didst come to those who are on the road to Emmaus, and warm our cold hearts, that we would love thee the more, and that we would love poor sinners the more. Give us a heart like the Apostle Paul, for our countrymen, our heart's desire, oh, work within. May the Spirit flame that grace of love within our hearts, love to thee and love for poor sinners. Hear us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's turn to our second phrase, Psalm 131, verses 1 to 3. We're thinking of meekness in this psalm. That will grow to some measure. Psalm 131, the tune is humility. My heart not haughty is, O Lord, mine eyes not lofty being, nor do I deal in matters great or things too high for me. I've said this before, but there's two themes here. Humility and hope. And it can open it like this, when we're at the feet of Jesus, looking up in humility, are we not encouraged to hope? Psalm 131, and the tune is humility.